Hello, Wisconsin. Thanks for tuning in to VCY America's Homefront program today. I'm Jelaine Appling, and I'm honored to host Homefront each Wednesday afternoon. I also serve as President Emeritus of Wisconsin Family Council, a statewide organization working to strengthen, preserve, and promote God's plan for marriage and family, the sanctity of human life, and religious freedom in our state. These foundational issues greatly impact all of us right here, right now. And these are the issues we focus on during this program. So it is good to be back with you after a week off because I had no voice. But by God's grace, I think I'm pretty well healed up and I'm ready to go. That said, let's spend just a few minutes recapping some of the highlights of the outcomes of last week's elections. Probably the biggest news out of that election is that both of the statewide referenda questions passed, despite some really serious money spent and effort expended to defeat them. You might recall that question one dealt with stopping outside money from coming into election clerks' offices for the purpose of supposedly helping with our elections. Question two prohibited anyone other than a duly authorized election official from being involved with the conducting of our elections. Question one passed 54-46%, with question two passing 59-41%. What this means is that effective immediately, our state constitution will be amended to include the legal language that the state legislature passed to keep the outside money and outside people out of our elections. Now, there apparently was some confusion among some voters who thought we would have to vote twice on these questions. That's not accurate. The proposals had to pass twice in the state legislature in two consecutive legislative sessions before they went on a statewide ballot. But it's just one vote by we the people. That's how we amend our state constitution. Interestingly, and not surprisingly, the Milwaukee Election Commission, just weeks before the election, solicited a private grant for $800,000 for, according to the news, election equipment. And apparently, they've received this money and made the purchase before the outcome of last week's election. So for those who didn't think this stuff really happened, you have a real-life current example right in Milwaukee. With the passing of these two questions, we have closed at least one or two election loopholes. Now, a number of school districts, like over 90, had a referendum question on the ballot last week to increase their revenue cap, which means that taxpayers would be ponying up more money for public schools. Some of those referenda passed, others failed. But the one we need to quickly mention is the one that passed in Milwaukee School District. That referendum asked for $250 million over the next several years. And quite honestly, how it is going to be spent has not really been exactly specific and clear. Research shows that this referendum will add an additional $400 a year of property taxes on a house valued at $200,000 in Milwaukee, which would describe the vast majority of homes in the Milwaukee School District. The CEO of Northwestern Mutual weighed in on this referendum prior to the election, noting that taxpayers should be demanding accountability from school officials since enrollment and performance keep going down and yet the school district keeps asking for more funding. While he didn't come right out and say so, I suspect this corporate CEO is also saying that the Milwaukee Public Schools are not giving him and many other business owners graduates that are equipped with the skills they need to work in their companies. Frankly, it wouldn't surprise me to see more people move out of Milwaukee because of this referendum passing. With the increase in sales tax, the fees that Milwaukee has, and now this property tax increase, people are going to find it better for their family to actually leave Milwaukee, a situation that will result in even more decline in student enrollment, more empty buildings. Milwaukee Public Schools better start providing some answers. And all this reminds me that Wisconsin has some wonderful educational options for parents who are looking for alternatives to the public school their child attends. But the window for applying for some of these options, such as the voucher program, closes soon, in some cases as early as next week. If you're listening to this and you're looking for a different educational partner for your child or children, I urge you to go to dpi.wi.gov, dpi.wi.gov, and then on the top menu bar, select Families and Students. From that drop-down menu, choose Programs and Initiatives, and from that drop-down menu, select School Choice. That'll take you to a listing of all the educational options. If you're serious about making a change, take a look at these options soon so you don't miss an application deadline. Regarding local results from last week's election, I know there were some school districts where conservatives gained ground, and I know at least in Wausau, for instance, the voters ousted a very liberal mayor and put in a more conservative one. I'll just quickly reiterate here. Local government is the level of government that most directly impacts our lives, and it is the level of government that we can most directly impact. If we want to protect marriage, family life, and religious freedom, we really should start in our own backyards. Remember, we have local elections every spring. Well, let's shift over to some legislative issues. The 2023-2024 legislative session is over for all practical purposes. Unless something extraordinary happens, the legislature will not be voting on any more bills until the new legislature is seated in early January 2025. But Governor Evers has been busy over the last couple of weeks with his veto pen. Recently, he vetoed the K-12 Protect Women's Sports bill that would have prevented biological males from participating in or competing in girls' sports in our K-12 public schools and private schools that are part of the voucher program. He's done this, but meanwhile, on this very issue this past Monday, the National Association of Intercollegiate Athletics, known as NAIA, became the first national collegiate athletic governing body to ban biological males from competing in women's sports. The NAIA is a collegiate sports organization outside of the NCAA. 80% of the members are private schools, including many Christian colleges across America. This landmark decision was approved unanimously by the NAIA Council of Presidents with a 20-0 vote. Frankly, it's about time that the collegiate level governing authorities for athletics stood up in the fight to save women's sports. Well, it's now time for the NCAA to step up and do the same thing. However, even if the NCAA doesn't do so on its own accord, this collegiate athletic association may eventually be forced to do the same as the NAIA. The media has reported that last month, former Kentucky swimmer Riley Gaines, along with about a dozen college athletes, filed a lawsuit against the NCAA, accusing it of violating their Title IX rights by allowing transgender woman Leah Thomas to compete at the national championships in 2022. The lawsuit was filed in U.S. District Court in Atlanta and details the shock Gaines and other swimmers felt when they learned they'd have to share a locker room with Thomas at the championships there in Atlanta. The lawsuit documents a number of races they swam in with Thomas, including the 200-yard final in which Thomas and Gaines tied for fifth, but Thomas, not Gaines, was handed the fifth-place trophy. So we're going to be following this lawsuit with great interest, and we'll also be reminded that this issue will be at play in our state and federal elections this fall. But getting back to recent gubernatorial vetoes, the governor has also vetoed the parental rights bill that clearly delineated about 16 parental rights and also made it clear that parents have other inalienable rights that aren't enumerated in the bill. This is the second time Governor Evers has vetoed a parental rights bill. The legislature tried one more time to get some tax relief for middle-class Wisconsin families, but Governor Evers once again vetoed the current bill the legislature gave him. This is, I think, the third or fourth tax cut bill the governor has vetoed this session. The Republicans, who hold the majority in both the Assembly and the Senate, have been trying to give back to the taxpayers some of the huge surplus the state has accumulated in recent years, following the understanding that the surplus has been created because the people have been overtaxed. Apparently, Governor Evers doesn't think that's the case. Governor Evers has vetoed many other bills, but these are a few we've been tracking and talking about this session. There were a few bills that Republicans introduced this session that should not have passed. And thanks in large part to the Senate, these bills died in committee. Among those bills was one that would have allowed pharmacists to prescribe contraception. Right now, pharmacists can't prescribe anything, but Republicans keep wanting them to prescribe contraception. It makes no sense. While the bill passed in the Assembly, fortunately it died in a Senate committee. But by the way, a little side note here. Biden's visit yesterday was cheered by a group that believes there is a right to conception. In fact, there is a federal effort to pass a bill that is entitled Right to Conception. With the bill Republicans introduced again here in our state, this is at least the third time, by the way, they've introduced this bill, and maybe the fourth. Apparently, a number of Republicans right here in Wisconsin agree with that and think that contraception should be free and that is somehow a right. Look, contraception is not health care. It is a personal choice regarding childbearing. If something is a right, then we are saying no one should ever be denied it if they want it, whether they can pay for it or not. Contraception doesn't fit that definition. Taxpayers should not be on the hook for anyone's personal choice in this area. This is fundamentally flawed thinking. Well, another bill that should have died and fortunately did is a bill that would have completely eliminated 6-month waiting period after a divorce before a remarriage. This is another bill that's been introduced multiple times by Republicans. To date, it has died largely because the Senate doesn't take it up. Also late in the session, Republicans introduced a bill that would have actually helped direct primary care providers and thus would have helped Wisconsin families. However, in this bill, Republicans also stuck in gender identity as a protected class in the anti-discrimination section. This bill died in the Senate. Then we also have the bill Republicans introduced that was calling prematurely for a 14-week abortion ban, a bill opposed by all 4 pro-life organizations in our state. The Assembly passed the bill, but it died in the Senate. Another abortion-related bill that Republicans introduced that would have added rape and incest as exceptions to our pre-Roe abortion ban also went nowhere. So that's just a quick overview of some of the last happenings in the state legislature as it wound up its session. There were some wins and certainly some losses from a conservative perspective, but every legislative session is a great opportunity for citizens to hold their elected officials accountable for the policies they support and those they oppose. That accountability is part of being a good steward of our form of government. So one last matter I want to quickly mention is a pro-life victory in Arizona yesterday. The Arizona Supreme Court ruled that the state's 160-year-old abortion ban may be enforced, clearing the way for a near total ban on abortions in that state. The 1864 ban has exceptions to save the life of the mother, but none in cases of rape or incest. Now, this was a huge win in Arizona, and it reminds us that the Arizona pre-Roe law is very similar to our pre-Roe abortion ban that is also being challenged right now in our courts. There's so much at play on this issue of abortion. And by the way, that whole issue got even muddier yesterday with former President Donald Trump's statement on abortion. I don't have time to develop all that, but I implore you to pray for our courts, for our candidates, and to also be sure you are clear in your own mind about this critically important issue. When does life begin? That question needs to be answered by every single person. And with that, we're out of time. If Wisconsin Family Council can help you with anything we've talked about, or to find out how you can support our efforts to strengthen, preserve, and promote our shared values, please call us at 888-378-7395 or visit us online at wifamilycouncil.org. Thanks for listening. This is Jelaine Appling for Wisconsin Family Council, reminding you that God, through the prophet Hosea, said, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge."